Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God of wonders, Lord, and that you prove yourself time and again in your word, Lord, and through your actions and through your faithfulness to your people, Lord. It's always a privilege to open your word together, Lord, and to come together in your name. Pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, soften us, Lord. And just help us to see you as the God of wonders, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we pray all this in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, some background here first. The children of Israel have been in Egypt now for right around 400 years, and they have no written word of God yet. They have likely an oral tradition of their ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and likely the creation stories. But God hasn't spoken to his people in about 400 years. It's been silent. And they've been enslaved by Pharaoh here. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee." This is a token that I have sent thee. You will know this is a token. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain, the same mountain that I'm talking to you on. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am the same God that proved myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I'm going to prove myself to you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am forever associated with you. This is how I want people to know me. I'm the God of Abraham." Jump down to verse 19. "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my plagues." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." Notice he doesn't call them plagues here. He calls them wonders. This is how he wants the children of Israel to see these. These are wonders. I am a God of wonders. I will prove myself. This is the first occurrence of the word wonder in its noun form in the scriptures. It occurs first as a verb in Genesis 24:21. That's when Eliezer, who is the eldest servant of Abraham, is sent by Abraham to find his son Isaac a wife. Excuse me. Eliezer, it says that Eliezer wonders at Rebekah when she's watering his camels. Now, according to the Library of Congress, a camel can drink up to 20 gallons of water at one time. And Eliezer had 10 of them. So Eliezer is wondering at this woman. He's seen her water these camels, draw up with this jug that she carries on her shoulder, draw up from a well, likely 200 gallons of water. And he's saying, "Man, that's a woman." You know, we're blessed to have a spring in Michigan, in Hillsdale, where we live. And I fill up our jugs about once a week, and I'll get maybe a dozen, 18 jugs at a time. And I carry them up three flights of stairs, and I'm gassed by the end of it. Tell ya. Can't imagine drawing 200 gallons. That's something to wonder at. So we see that a wonder is something that causes one to wonder, to be inspired, to have awe in the actor of these wonders. And that's what God's going to do. He wants his people to wonder at him. Go over to chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh here is saying, I am a God. I am the God Horus, okay? I rule my people. I'm the high priest of all these temples. I know the gods. I am one of them. I don't know this Lord. So he's asking for it. He's saying, let me see this Lord. Jump down to verse 22 in the same chapter. Now, we see Moses blaming God for Pharaoh worsening the burden of the Israelites here. It says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now, this was a failing on Moses' part. God told him, go in there and do these signs unto Pharaoh. Show him the rod turning into a snake. Show him your leprous hand. And tell him, go to chapter 4, verse 21 and 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh. There it is again, wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. See, that would have struck a chord with Pharaoh because he believed he was the son of a god and a god himself. But Moses didn't do that. But look how God responds here after Moses blames him for this. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Here he's calling them judgments. They are to be wonders to Israel and judgments upon the Egyptians and their gods. And I will take you to me for a people. You're going to be my people. And I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, he reminds him. He doesn't say, Moses, why didn't you do it the first time you were in there? Why didn't you show Pharaoh the signs? Why didn't you tell him that I'm the God of Israel and Israel is my son? No, he reminds him, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Moses, now this is your charge. This is your job in life. Go over to verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Notice he doesn't say, I've made thee like a god or as a god to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to think you're a god by the time this is done, because of what I'm going to use you to do. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, every word of it, all of it. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. There it is again, signs and wonders. This is how he's proving himself. He says, I am the same God that provided a sacrifice for Abraham. I am the same God that wrestled with Jacob. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. They're going to know by the time this is over. When I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. So God uses signs and wonders to judge the Egyptians and their gods here. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Why a serpent? We'll see. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. So they're kind of brushing this off. They're saying, we can do this too. No, this isn't, who's this Lord? For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, most of you have probably seen the death masks of the Pharaoh kings, the kings of Egypt. A lot of them have a little snake right here on the death mask. And that was a symbol of their cobra goddess, Wajet. Now, she was known as the protector of the pharaohs. So this is a signal to Pharaoh that your snake goddess is nothing to the Lord. I swallow her right up. Jump down to verse 14 there. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go, just like I told you he would. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. So this first miracle of Moses is a precursor to Jesus Christ's first miracle. Moses turns water to blood, and Christ turned water to wine. But it's also a manifestation of what Pharaoh did when he ordered the Hebrew boys to be thrown in the Nile. Look at verse 18. This verse is very curious. And the fish that is in the river shall die. He specifically says the fish. You know, there's other things in the river. There's frogs, you know, there's lots of things. And the river shall stink. Yeah, anybody who's gone fishing can guess that it would have smelled pretty bad. But look at the precision of God here. Hatmahet was the Egyptian goddess of fish. Her name translates to chief or foremost of the fish. She was associated with the city of Mendes, which was the center of perfume production in Egypt. She was also known as she who creates everyone's scent. Here God is flicking off Hatmahet as nothing. He's killing the fish, and I mean, if the fish are dead, you can guess the chief of the fish are dead. And they stink. Go over to verse 1 of chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Frogs? Why frogs? That's weird. I can think of half a dozen worse ways to judge somebody, right? You think? There's a reason. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. Everywhere there's going to be frogs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. The Egyptians had a goddess named Heket, who was the goddess of fertility, and she was depicted as half woman, half frog. They associated the frogs with fertility because as the Nile would flood, the frogs would come up, and the Nile brought fertility to the land. It watered it. And in the myth of Horus, who is the god that the Egyptians believed was their pharaoh, Heket breathes life into Horus. God's saying here with this plague, he says, no, I breathe life. I'm the one that breathed life into Adam. Jump down to verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Notice this is God doing what he did in Genesis. He's creating life from dust. The magicians can't. They can't replicate it because only God has that power. But it's also a judgment on the Egyptian god of earth, Geb. He was considered to be the grandfather of the pharaoh. And the throne in Egypt was called the throne of Geb. Just God cutting them down one by one. These Egyptians would have known it. And so would the Israelites. I mean, the Israelites had been there for hundreds of years, and they'd seen the rituals and the temples built to these gods. But God's showing them, I'm stronger than all of them. And notice what the Egyptians say, or the magicians. Then the magician said, verse 19, unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. This is spiritual warfare. Pharaoh's going to fight God to the end, even if it kills him. And spoiler alert, it will. Jump down to verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Oh, really quick about the lice. You know, we haven't had rain. It's been a few weeks. We just got a little bit. But for a while there, we were going through a dry spell. It was very dusty. You know, working out on the farm, there's dust everywhere. You know, it gets in your beard. It gets in the creases in your arms. And can you imagine working out there and all of a sudden you see the dust on your arms start changing? Start crawling around. Man, you think it's itchy when it's just dust. Verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants. And upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." Again, he calls it a sign. "And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies." By this point, there's piles of dead fish and piles of dead frogs. That's likely where these flies came from. And that's likely why they corrupted the land, because they're crawling around on all these dead things. And that's, God protects his people's land. He doesn't let it be corrupted by the death and the decay. Khepri was the ancient Egyptian god of creation and the movement of the sun. He was depicted as a man with the head of a scarab or dung beetle. He symbolized rebirth to the Egyptians. God is showing here that this insect god of the Egyptians has no power. He can't control the insects here. And there's no rebirth happening in your land. Your land is corrupted. Go over to chapter 9, verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt." Again, God's preserving his sacrifice here. "And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land." Notice God's on time. He points a time, says, this is when it's going to happen, lest you think that it's just an accident. "And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." Hathor was the Egyptian cow goddess. The Egyptians believed her to be the mother of Pharaoh. This is a signal to the Egyptians that the mother of your Pharaoh is powerless. She can't protect the cattle. She can't protect you. And she was often depicted as a golden cow. She was considered the goddess of love as well, or lust, really. I think that this would be the goddess that the Israelites were worshiping at the foot of the mountain when Moses was up there. Jump down to verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses." They're incapacitated because of the boils. "For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses." Once again, look at the precision of God. Isis was the Egyptian goddess of magic and healing. So God says, that's easy. I'll take out their magicians with a health problem, and I'll take out their goddess of magic and healing. One foul swoop. He's saying, I'm greater than your magicians. He says, I am the great physician. I heal. I give life. Verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues, here he's calling them plagues, upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. That is the end. That is the end to which God is seeking. He wants people to know, none like me. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. Let me read that again. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. This is talking, God is talking to Pharaoh here. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou self against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. God's saying, you exist for me. You're not a god. I raised you up, and I'm going to cut you down. Man, that's a wake-up call. Look at verse 23. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Set was the Egyptian god of chaos, storms, and evil. God's proving here that Set has no power, that these gods of the Egyptians, once again, just one by one. But imagine the chaos. Imagine hail big enough to break a tree when you're working out in the field, and with fire too. That's chaos. That's a storm. Look at verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. That's the purpose of this. That's why he's doing this. He's trying to prove himself. He says, I'm not going to take you out of here and expect you to have faith in me without me showing you that I'm worthy of it. He said, I proved myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I am that I am. Look at verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his hand, his rod, over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Osiris was considered the Egyptian god of vegetation. He was also considered the father of Pharaoh. And when he was depicted with green skin. So he had a real green thumb. But God is showing here that Osiris has no power. He says, I am the master gardener. He said, I made the Garden of Eden. I made it flourish. I made the tree of life. I am the tree of life. I bring life. I bring resurrection. Look at verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Man. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This is dark. I mean, you can't even turn a light on in your house. That's how dark it is. You know, you can't even start a candle. They didn't leave. They didn't rise from their places. But the children of Israel could. God says, I am the light. This was also a direct attack upon the sun god of Egypt, who was considered their highest deity, Ra. For 3 days, there was no sign of Ra to the Egyptians. They would have known. He's powerless. It was also a direct attack upon Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was considered to be a form of the god Ra. Look at verse 9 of chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Once again, we see. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. God's saying, Pharaoh's going to keep hardening his heart, but there's a reason, so that I can show my wonders. Pharaoh exists for me, not the other way around. Look at chapter 12, verse 12. This is the final wonder. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Notice what he says. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. This is spiritual warfare. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt, God says, I make a way through the blood. I make a way that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer death. Man, he says, I am that same God. And he made a way for us. Amen. Through the blood. He gave his son. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this afternoon and we thank you. We thank you that you prove yourself over and over, Lord, that you are God of signs and wonders to your people, that you don't expect blind faith, Lord, that you deliver, that you tear down false gods, Lord, and that you provided a sacrifice for us, Lord, that we may be saved through your Son. We thank you. We love you. We pray this in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Any questions or comments?